Praise God. It's been a few weeks since we last looked at this series of teaching we're doing on the ministry and the work of God. And we've been looking through, if you can remember, we spent a part of January and into towards the end of last month looking at the Nehemiah's response when his friend and brother came to where he was, and he asked about the work, how it was going on, what was happening in Jerusalem. And he received the news that Jerusalem wasn't doing very well. It had been allowed to fall into a state of disrepair. It had been attacked, and you know, God put it on his heart, and we went through all this last time, to go back to Jerusalem and start to rebuild the walls. Now he spent time, first of all he got permission from his from the king who he was working for, his cupbearer, to go back. And he requested that letters be given to him, so like a travel permit. Today we call it a visa, so he could pass through the nations to get back to his homeland. He requested help from the king's foresters, those that handled the wood, to supply the materials needed. And God was with him and granted everything that he asked. But when he got to Jerusalem, he went out and he surveyed the area and saw what needed to be done. And we looked at a few points. And one of those points that we did look at was that Nehemiah didn't straight away tell people what he was going to do. You know, he wanted to formulate his plan. Yeah, God had put it on his heart, but he wanted to see exactly what God was leading him into. And then, once he'd caught the vision, that was the essence of the messages we looked at, you know, catching the vision and hearing the call. Once he'd caught the vision, he'd seen what needed to be done, and he'd prepared for the task, then he began to share what God had put on his heart. And as he began to share, he found the people began to respond. They were inspired, they were motivated, they wanted to rise and build. And in chapter 2 of Nehemiah, in verse 17, he spoke to them and he says, you see the distress we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, its gates are burned with fire. He says, come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And he told them, I said, I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build, and they set their hands to do this good work. You know, he shared what God had put on his heart, and the people, they wanted to help, they wanted to get involved in the work. And so they begin to build. Now we're going to look at chapter 3. And I'm not going to read chapter 3 tonight, because all of it's just a list of different people and what they did in the construction work of Jerusalem. But one thing we see from reading chapter 3, and I would encourage you to read through it at some stage, or if you've got it on CD, just listen to this chapter. Because the task of rebuilding the wall was a huge task. It wasn't something that was going to just happen in a few days. You know, this was a really big job. Just to give you an idea what needed to be done. And I'm not sure if I put this in chapter 2. We'll put the he's on red, I can't see. Because when he surveyed the walls, straightforward, because two sides of Jerusalem, the walls needed to be completely rebuilt. That's the east side and the southeast side. It's hard to do without looking at a picture of the city of Jerusalem. But on the east and along the south, those walls needed to be completely rebuilt. They've been completely demolished. On two other sides of Jerusalem, the walls just needed to be repaired. And what is interesting is that, if you look at it, unless you might have a map or something found in the back of your Bible, you'll see that they extended the wall. So they completely rebuilt it and extended it, not following or coming away from the existing where the existing wall was. So they enlarged it. That's a little bit of what I'm going to share on Thursday, but it just fits in. They had to completely rebuild the southern part of Jerusalem. And just to give you, to gauge some idea of the extent of their building work, archaeologists have found remains, or part remains, of some of these new walls that Nehemiah built. And in places, they're up to 8 feet thick. And we certainly know from Jericho, because the Bible tells us that in the second chapter of Joshua, that Rahab lived in the wall of Jericho. So houses were often built into the walls. Now, you might not think, well, 8 feet's not big for a house, but you know, at some point it was up to 8 feet thick, and maybe even more than that, where the houses were. But it was a huge mammoth task, this reconstruction work. You know, what I like about this chapter is it really shows us that, you know, everybody is involved. And that's one of the things we're going to see. You know, the work of God and the work of ministry is not a one-man operation. You know, God may raise up one person to be the leader or the overseer. He may anoint a particular person to head up the task like he did for Nehemiah. But everybody gets involved. We're all in it together. And Paul uses, and that's what we were looking at this just before Christmas, if you remember. Paul uses the analogy of the body to illustrate how the church and how the work of God functions. He says, where every member does its part, and that brings unity to the body and causes growth. Now, if we just look in the scriptures here, if you break it down and have a look, there's almost, there's 40 groups on this wall. I can give you the verses and you can look at it, but in verse 1, we read that Eliashib, the high priest, rose up to build. So the priests got involved, the priesthood. There were other priests. The high priest rose up, his brethren, the priests, they built part of, verse 1 tells us, the sheep gate. Then, I mean, it'll take us a long time to go through all the people that were building, but we find there's the religious leaders helped build. Verse 17 talks about the Levites. They were workers in the house of God. Remember, Jesus told the parable of the priest and the Levite and the Good Samaritan. You know, the people that you thought would help the dying man on the road, the priest and the Levite, these are people that were working in the house of God. They had function to perform. They had a ministry that needed to be taken care of. Yet they passed this man by, and the Samaritan who thought they didn't get on, he stopped to help. So we have the priesthood, there's religious leaders. There's another group of religious leaders mentioned in verse 26, and that's they're called the Nethinim. It wasn't just the priesthood that got involved in the rebuilding work, because we read in verse 9, verse 12, then verse 14 through to verse 18. We see there's mentions district governors. Now these are politicians, they got involved in the reconstruction work. Verses 8 and 32 mention different types of professionals. Mentions goldsmiths, mentions merchants, it talks about the perfumers. People that, you know, they all helped as well. Then verse 12 mentions the daughters of Shalom. So women got involved. Everybody gets involved in the reconstruction work. Then there's quite a few verses here that talk about people that lived in and around Jerusalem itself. You know, they saw what was going on, and you know, they were inspired. They wanted to rebuild their home city where they were living, so they got involved. Then there's people that come in from out of town, from other places, other towns nearby. And some of those you'll see talks about in verse 2, it talks about Jericho. In verse 5, there's people from Tekoa. The Gibeonites come in verse 7. And in verse 14, there's people from Beth Hakarem. But they come from all over. And every work of ministry, as this chapter highlights, needs those who can perform different functions. Now, one thing is clearly evident, and I think you'll see this as you read through. Not all of these people were bricklayers. Some were politicians. Some were priests. So not everybody could lay a brick. Not everybody could work with a saw and cut a piece of wood. There were people like the goldsmiths. These were skilled artisans. They could work with gold. They could produce, they could roll it and make it fine and, you know, cover the articles of wood and things with it and turn the gold into goblets and plates and articles for the temple of God. Some of the people in this chapter, we see they built walls. Some constructed the gates. Some did the metal work, like the hinges and things on the gates. Some worked on the towers. The scripture talks about those that worked on the governor's residence. You know, he needed somewhere to live. And this just shows us that the work of God is not just one person. Everybody gets involved. And the work of God needs all types of ministries. It doesn't just... Perhaps we think of it and we look at the church, we think, well, there's the pastor there, or there's the musicians, and, you know, there's perhaps those that look after the children, or people that lead the small groups. You know, the work of God is much bigger than that. It needs people that will pray. Now, we can all pray, but there's a particular gifting that some have for this type of thing, praying for the work of God. Now, the work of God needs those that can give, and not everybody can give. Now, we all give sort of our offerings and things, but some people are... God has blessed them, and they're able to put vast sums of money into the work of God. They're able to support financially some business people, you know, that can fund things that the church needs or the work of God needs. Now, God puts it on their hearts. Now, God supplies the need, but he uses people. Then there's those that support the work. You know, if we had... person to lead the meeting, and we had a person to speak, and we had the musicians there, but we had no one actually came along. You know, we need the people to support it. We need the people to come and give their faith to the meeting, or their faith into, or their support into the work. Then there's other workers that are needed, helpers. And we all come together and we all do our part, and the work of God grows and flourishes. Now there's three important lessons from this chapter. And I just want to look at these tonight. Remember, in the work of God, it's not just one man. You know, this work of reconstruction of the walls of Jerusalem would not have been as successful as it was without these three important things that took place. One, Jerusalem. You know, Nehemiah had shared with them what God had put on his heart. And there was about 40 different groups working together, working simultaneously to fulfill the vision that God had put on their hearts. And that couldn't have been achieved without Nehemiah's supervision. You know, he was the man who oversaw this work. He watched over the work. He was what we would call it, he was the visionary. He was the one that God had put it on his heart, and he'd shared it and inspired the others. And he saw to it that it was done according to what God had shown him. He kept his, his eye on the work. He supervised. Something else we see about Nehemiah, he worked in close cooperation with other people, other ministries. He used the best people for the job. Now, if you were a carpenter, you probably didn't get that involved in constructing the walls because you had a skill that was needed elsewhere. And Nehemiah saw to it that the best people were used for the best, for the job that they were skilled for. He cooperated with other ministers. Although I don't think it's mentioned in the chapter, but reading other parts of Nehemiah, you see that he worked closely with Ezra the priest, or Ezra the scribe. Ezra had an anointing of God upon him. And yes, it might not have been his ministry, but he was involved in the work of God. And so he brought Ezra in, and as you go through Nehemiah, you see that Ezra brought back worship into the city of Jerusalem. He reinstated the feasts that had been left and neglected. But then something else, because as you read through this chapter, you see that just look at verse 1. It says, "Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated and hung its doors. They built as far as the tower of the 100 and consecrated it, then as far as the tower of Hananel." Then in verse 2 it says, "Next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built." Verse 4 it says, "Next to them, Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, made repairs." Verse 5, it says, "Next to them, the Tekoites made repairs." Verse 7, "Next to them." They were all working, you picture them all working along this stretch of wall, which went, and they looked closely beside one another, in little groups. There's this group here, next to them was another group, next to them was another group. And what that enabled them, because they were working so closely together, they were able to keep their eye on what their neighbours were doing. And if their neighbours got behind, they could lend a hand and support the work. And we'll come on to that in a minute, because there's another point I want to make. But they supported one another. And that's important in the work of God. Yes, it needs good supervision. It needs close cooperation, but it needs support from every person. Now, it's not a one-man operation. And a lot of places, it looks like that. You think, well, this is my ministry. This is what I'm doing. But that's not the Bible way. You know, God's way is it's a body operation. Everybody gets involved. Now, we've already touched on that Nehemiah used the best people for the task. But there's, I just want to show you some scriptures here. Nehemiah used people in the construction work where they had a vested interest or where they were skilled. Or you'll find that some of the people built part of the wall or built round where they lived. Now, they didn't want this to be a shoddy piece of work, because if they lived there, they would have to look at it. Or they would have to, they'd be living, and they don't want to be living in a place that's rough. So I think, because Nehemiah, this must have been from God. Because he put people to work near where they lived. So they made it look great. Some of the merchants were working, you can read that in verse 32. It says, between the upper room at the corner and as far as the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants made repairs. Now, the merchants, they did all their business around the gates. Because that's where people came in and out. So that's where they set up their little stalls. As you came through the gate, that's where the stalls... So they built around their work area. So Nehemiah set the merchants on the gates. And they were constructing the gates. Or working around the gates. Around where the trading needed to be done. And you'll find it as you read it. You know, the people were employed where they were best suited. Like the goldsmiths. They were used in making the articles for the temple. And this just teaches that we're skilled. You know, I've been in meetings, and actually I totally agree with what they were doing, where a person has preached the message, and then maybe this chap's gifted, he's probably more of a teacher than he was anything else. And he was preaching. But then at the end of his message, he didn't just close the meeting or... he handed the meeting over. Now, he might have preached, he might have been a teacher, it might have been, but if he preached a gospel message, he handed the meeting over to an evangelist to make the appeal. Because that was his gifting. Bringing people to that point of decision. So the teacher preached the message and then he handed over to an evangelist to make the appeal and bring the people to that point where then that person, after they prayed for, he handed over to somebody else. So they're using the ministries really to the best advantage, if that's the right word. So Nehemiah did this. He used the best people for the task involved. So it might be that somebody's got a gifting for... We try to do it in our church here. You know, people like our brother Elvis, you know, he's got a a good singing voice. So, you know, it should be used in singing. And other people might be skilled in other things, and we want to use them. So that the best people are being used for the job. Because then, I think as we've already touched on tonight and it's been mentioned, you know, then, you know, the meeting just flows with the Spirit. And everybody's doing the ministry they're anointed to do. You know, and God will be glorified. You know, the blessing will fall. You know, and we'll all get something out of it. But then lastly, just, there's a, almost like a little thing here, tucked in verse 5. And you can almost skip over it. Then there's the challenge to get involved. In verse 5, it shows us a small group of people here that were not willing, and the Bible says they weren't willing to put their shoulders to the work. You know, they weren't willing to get involved. You know, these sort of people, you know, well, I'm not doing that. You know, I'm better than that. You know, why should I get my hands dirty and roll up the sleeves? You know, when we all work together, you know, we motivate and encourage one another. You know, that's I've never been personally comfortable with one-to-one situations. You know, I've been out with others on the streets or around the sites, and although you're working one-to-one, you know, you encourage and motivate one another. You know, there's something about working with other people that draws the best out in everybody. You know, and I like to go out with other people. Now, I'm quite happy working on my own, but I prefer to go out with other people because you bounce off one another and you motivate one another, you inspire one another, and you challenge one another to get involved and get the job done. When we work together, everybody gets encouraged. Now these men here, in verse 5, it says that they did not put their shoulders to the work of their Lord. Now that means they left. That wouldn't have been all of them. It was just the nobles. It was just those that were, they thought themselves better than everybody else. You know why? They had status, you know. They're not going to lower themselves and pick up a brick or get a little bit of cement dust or whatever it was on their trousers, you know, these sort of people. But that means it put a burden and pressure on the others in their group. They had to work a little bit harder, do a little bit more. But what you actually see with these people here, the Tekoites, as it says here in verse 5, if you read a little bit later on in the chapter, in verse 27, it says, this is after the Nephilim, in verse 26, after them the Tekoites repaired another section. Now these men were troopers, you know, these were working real good. Because not only did they complete their task, they went on to take on an extra bit. You know, that they completed their allocated or their allotted section of the wall. So they moved on. They repaired another section next to the great projecting tower, it says. You know, so they... Yes, they were, because of their nobles, they were really, they thought, well, we're not going to have these men let the team down. So they really got behind the work. But the challenge is for everyone to get involved. So there's three real important lessons here. One, we need to have one purpose and one goal. One, we should use the best people for the task, whatever that is. Now, and I know it's been said many times, but you know, if you're not a preacher or you're not a singer or can't play and you're not very good at doing other things, but you can make an excellent cup of tea, you've got a really great job. If you're good at making the sandwiches, you've got an excellent job. You know, we should use people like that in where they're best gifted. And then there's the challenge for us all to get involved. You know, when we work together, we motivate one another and challenge one another. So there's an interesting chapter there. It's not a, I mean, there's not a lot going on except for this list of what these people did and who they were and what they built, what they constructed. But there's certainly some important lessons we can draw from this chapter. You know, the work of God is not just one man. It's all of us. And we're all in it together. And when we get involved, I think as Paul states in Corinthians, you know, we cause growth in the body. We all take our part, we all do our share. You know, God, it says in the Psalms, you know, where brethren dwell together in unity, you know, where they're united, where they're with one purpose and one goal, there God commands his blessing. You know, that's what the work of God is about. That's serving God and doing what he wants us to do. Working together so that God's blessing falls and God gets the glory. So let's be challenged to get involved. Now, like Nehemiah, now God willing, next time, whenever that is, you know, we're going to see I just want to develop that a little bit further, looking at unity. And then we'll look at some of the opposition that Nehemiah had to face. You can count on it. When you start getting involved in the work of God, you're going to come up against some opposition. Somebody is not going to be happy. And we touched on last time, there's these three guys in Nehemiah. Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arab. And they bug Nehemiah throughout the book. And we're just going to look at some of the things that they did and how Nehemiah coped with that. And that should encourage us. Because Nehemiah encountered the same types of problems that we encounter today. So we'll take it from there next time. So let's just pray. Father, we just thank you tonight, Lord, and we give you praise, Lord. Lord, just looking at this strange chapter, Lord, in the book of Nehemiah. Lord, where it just lists, Lord, people's names, Lord, and Lord, where they were from, Lord, and Lord, what they were involved in part of the construction. But Father, Lord, Lord, briefly looked at it tonight, Lord, we see, Lord, they came from varying walks of life. Lord, some, Lord, were part of the priesthood. Lord, some were, Lord, part of, Lord, the politicians of the day, the governors, Lord. Lord, there was those that, Lord, were able to work with their hand, the city. Father, Lord, and they all got involved and worked together, Lord. And Lord, that just caused the work of God to Lord, be prosperous and successful. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that we would have that, Lord, that same unity of intention, Father, Lord, that we would work together. Lord, with one purpose and one, Lord, goal, with one heart and mind. Father, Lord, as we've seen, Lord, that look, Nehemiah put those that were gifted, Lord, where they were best used. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll give us wisdom, Lord, to know which people, Lord, to, Lord, use in the work of your kingdom. Lord, yes, we're not all preachers, Father. Lord, we're not all musicians. We're not all upfront people. But, Father, we've got a valid contribution to make. So, Father, we just thank you for that, Father. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that over these coming weeks, Lord, that, Lord, that will be identified. Lord, if we don't know, Lord, what that purpose is, Lord, in our own heart and life, Lord, that, Lord, you would show us. Lord, reveal to us, Lord, where we fit in, Lord, to your body. So, Father, we just praise you today, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, that, Lord, as we go from here tonight, Lord, that, Lord, we'll go with your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray.